You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome back, folks, to hour number two on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Here with George Kurtz. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We've got our poll up, which I will update you on. Early returns of people watching the Pro Bowl.
What, Mike, let me ask you a question, yeah. Mike. You know, after hearing all these the commercials, you know, you and I have worked with Tony Cincotta for a long time now.
Yes.
Would Tony be the one you go to for life advice?
No, I go to him for fantasy advice. Well, you know, he's got an interesting... I can't say no outright. He's got some interesting takes. I do have to take things with a grain of salt because he has somewhat aggressive stances on certain things. So I have to take, depending on the topic, I have to take it with a grain of salt.
Interesting takes. Sure, that's one way of describing it.
Yeah.
Interesting takes.
Some are pretty extreme, you know, like... I can't think of one off the top of my head, but sometimes he has a pretty extreme stance on things, and I'll have to...
You know, death do us part, marry a smoker.
Right. It's a bit extreme. So there's other ways to get around that. You know, if you don't want to be tied down in a marriage for the rest of your life, you probably, you know, don't marry somebody that's engaging in destructive behavior. Like, maybe just don't get married. Just date. Just
there you go.
Keep dating.
That might solve that entire problem.
Right. That's how I would approach that one. So, yeah, like I said, pretty extreme stances on certain things. But yeah, he's
crazy.
Yeah, but yeah, he's, you know, he's a little nuts. He's a little off. But that's why we love him. So, but yeah, I can't take him for all the life advice. So, on to the FSTA draft occurred earlier this week. Representatives from a variety of different outlets. From our group, it was
Cardano,
Mike Cardano
and
Chris Meany. Yeah, Chris Meany, who actually won our staff football league this year.
So he didn't. How much do I owe him for this, by the way?
I think it's $50, but we just...
I've heard different answers. That's why I keep... he hasn't replied back yet, so he's not getting anything until I hear from you, Chris.
I mean, Mike Cardano, the organizer of the league, I mean, he just, let's face it, he mailed it in. We had kickers, which nobody wanted kickers. He drafted three tight ends. He didn't tell anybody where to send the money or any of that kind of stuff once the thing was over. Anyway, it's done. I came in fourth place, so
And on another note, Mike Blewett has now been fired.
For what?
For yelling at Mike Cardano.
Oh, yeah, true. I think he can handle it, but he knows. He knows. He drafted three tight ends. He came in, like, eighth place, so that's what happens. So I'll break down who competed in this for those who hadn't heard it. I know you've broken this down in other shows this week, but frankly, for those of you who listen, I think it's an opportunity for you to learn a little bit. So from our group, it was Mike Cardano and Chris Meany. You had Fantastics, Anthony Perry, Colton and the Wolfman, it was Colton and the Wolfman. So Masters Ball, you had Laura Michaels, Steve Gardner from USA Today, Charlie Weigert from CDM Sports, Greg Ambrosius from the NFBC, representing the NFBC, Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, Ray Flowers represented SiriusXM, Jeff Manns, and who's with Jeff Manns? Jeff Manns from Fantasy Alarm, Ron Chandler was there, Dr. Roto from Scout Fantasy, and then Ray Murphy from Baseball HQ. So that's where we're at there. And what was the format here, George? Do you know?
5x5.
5x5. So standard is 5x5. I don't know how many player. Well, 29 rounds. So
six bench.
Six on the bench.
14-9-6. Yeah, the 13 teams a little bit higher than a standard league, but other than that. Pretty straightforward. We've been beating this to death all week, this draft. It's the first, for me, probably the beginning of fantasy baseball. It's the first official draft of the fantasy baseball season.
Yeah, Yeah, that's sort of, this is like the kickoff to fantasy baseball season. Everybody acknowledges that it's really early and there's a lot of things that can move, but I think that's why you have a pretty, you know, fairly deep bench here, and guys can make some moves. I read Ray Flowers' breakdown of his own draft, his own team. He said he was going risky, and that was his strategy going in. He was going to take some risks. Mike Trout's the number one overall. Mookie Betts, Nolan Arenado, Jose Altuve, Paul Goldschmidt, Chris Bryant, Clayton Kershaw. I'm just going down in order of the first round. Manny Machado to our guys, Cardano and Meany. Ray Flowers said Anthony Rizzo. He acknowledges he probably should have taken Bryce Harper there. Bryce Harper lasts all the way to the 12 pick, which in Georgia, in another draft you were in, that's about the same place he went. And then Josh Donaldson wraps up the first round. So no real big surprises in that first round, correct? We got the two pitchers off the board, and you could probably argue a couple of players a couple of different ways, but ultimately a fairly straightforward first round, even for the experts.
Correct. I think you can argue, jumble it around a little bit. I certainly would have, including what you mentioned, Bryce Harper, I would have taken him earlier. Josh Donaldson, I would have taken him earlier. But other than that, those were pretty much the 13. I think Scherzer going at 10, I believe, was a little bit surprising.
Yeah. Right. So beyond that, you're wrapping around into Corey Seager, Miguel Cabrera. I mean, Dr. Roto sitting there at 12. He comes out of the mix with Bryce Harper and Miggy Cabrera. At first glance, you really have to like that. I don't know that he could have planned it that way. I think Harper falling to him was sort of a stroke of luck, and now he's got a formidable lineup from the start. And then we go down through. I'm not seeing any massive surprises. I think Trey Turner is somebody that you're going to continue to see him in some, I think, in the other draft, and we'll talk about that in subsequent segments. Trey Turner is a name that you're consistently going to see in that top 15 to 20 picks, and he comes in at right around 21 here, I think.
Trey Turner, listen, I won't take him in the first round, though. I've seen him go that hard. I would take him middle to late second round, but I can tell you right now, fantasy players, if you want him, you better grab him. Because he's going high. He's going to go higher and higher. People believe. Now, I'm a conservative drafter, Mike, so with my first couple of picks, I'm not going to take too many guys who I'm not positive about. And it's hard to be positive about anybody who really had a good 4 months. You know, we don't know. When young players are going to have to make adjustments, you know, and sometimes those adjustments can take a month, 2 months, a year. We've seen that over and over again. And that's not to say Turner may figure it out right away. But I can guarantee you, all those pitching coaches, especially in the National League East, were watching his swings, finding holes in his swings, and they'll figure out, okay, he can't hit the high fastball. Okay, he has trouble breaking stuff away. You know, all this stuff, he'll have to make adjustments. How quick he can make those adjustments will determine what kind of year he will have. He may make them out right away, but I'm not going to take that chance, Mike. I'm going to go with more established players my first couple of rounds.
Yeah, and would you say out of all these second-round picks that Trey Turner is the guy that you have the most concern about?
Out of all the second-round picks,
You got Edwin Encarnacion has obviously switched teams. He goes the pick after Turner. You got Bumgarner, Lindor, Freddie Freeman, Robinson Cano, Brian Dozier is how it wraps up. So, you know, as far as risk versus reward, it seems like Trey Turner is probably up there of all of these first two rounds of picks. As you said, you know, a fantastic 4 months, but you could be looking at a guy that you overpaid for when all the dust settles.
Well, there are always going to be players taking the first round that, you know, aren't going to pay off for whatever reason. You know, we know that's happening. I mean, you look at it.
Bryce Harper last year.
Yeah, but he's still, you know, I'm not going to knock anybody for that.
Of course.
Marte, I think it's, 14, 15, 17. Interesting for a guy who doesn't hit many home runs. Don't know if that'll change. Turner, Encarnacion. So Turner goes, I have really no problem with Turner. I might have gone, you know, and Jeff Erickson's one who took Trey Turner, by the way. He took Kershaw round one. I was going to say I might have gone Madison Bumgarner, but you got Kershaw. No, I'm good. I really am good here. I don't have any issues.
Got it. In that first round, by the way, you have no problem with any of the players taking. You just think Scherzer is probably a guy that you would have let slide a little bit, correct?
He went at 10, right? I think it's a tough beginning. I love Scherzer, but I think I would have taken Harper above him. Probably Donaldson as well. So, listen, we're nitpicking here. Because when I say I would have taken him at 10, I would have taken him at 12. You know, there's no way I would have taken him above Harper and Donaldson. That's what I'm really saying there.
Got it.
Probably not Miggy either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm going to keep it more more conservative. That was, by the way, Jeff Manzatech Schuster that drafted Scherzer there, and then they went with Marte. So, as you said, Marte doesn't hit a ton of home runs, but everywhere else he fills the stat sheet. So, as we go into round three, Noah Syndergaard looks like he's the 1, 2, 3, 4th pitcher off the board. Noah Syndergaard, no issues there.
No, I like Noah Syndergaard. I mean, you're always going to worry about some injuries, but you got him at 27 overall. Really, that's mid-third round in standard leagues. I don't have any issues with this. No, Kluber goes right after him, and I think you're going to see those two together a lot. People sort of flipping a coin between Kluber, Syndergaard. I would go Syndergaard as well. National League, weaker lineup. Excuse me, weaker lineups, better chance of strikeouts.
Yeah. As we continue through, A.J. Pollock is there in the third round. Xander Bogaerts you see come off the board. Chris Sale, you know, obviously a big – it's a big change going over to Boston. Sale, everybody knows about his stuff, how dominant he can be. Goes to a new park, a hitter's park. But, I in general, fantasy implications, baseball applications – they paid a lot, but I think it's a tremendous addition to the staff. I know some people think that from a value perspective, maybe they gave up too much at this point. I frankly think a lot of the off-field stuff with Chris Sale clouds how good he has been. But I don't know your thoughts on that.
Well, if you look at fantasy-wise, it doesn't really change all that much. Some people say, well, now he's pitching at Fenway, it's going to hurt him. Boys and girls, cellular field is a much better hitter's ballpark than just about anywhere. All right, he pitched fine there, so I'm not worried about that. He'll pitch fine in Fenway. Should give him a better chance for more wins. And you could say what you want. You can't chase wins. Well, still give him a better chance for it. Red Sox are going to score some runs. We know that they're one of the best teams in the league. So, that's good news there. Would I have taken him here? I don't have any issues with it. I don't have issues where he went. There would have been other players I would have taken over him. You know, that's one thing I would have gone there. But other than that, you know, he goes, about 30th overall, give or take. And I'm fine with that. He's your number one starter. And this is by our guys. Maverick, we roasted these guys, Cardano and Meany. I don't know which one of the led the picks here. But the problem with this team here, this has nothing to do with roasting Mike. You're just roasting a team here. Look to see where their next pitcher is after Sale.
I'm looking right now. So Chris Sale goes in the third round. They had Machado and Springer in the first two, so seemingly good start.
Started off real well.
And the next pitcher is a guy with one of the biggest question marks in the entire league, and he doesn't go until round 10 as Matt Harvey. So if you had to go risky there because there's a billion pitchers that went off the board between the third round when they picked.
You only took two pitchers in the first 130 players.
Yeah,
you almost have no chance to win this.
Yeah, so for argument's sake, for comparison's sake, the team that picked right in front or behind them, Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, had Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, Zach Britton, Zach Greinke, in the same amount of time that they had their two pitchers, which means they have two number one starters and two number one closers. That's how they built their staff, as opposed to Chris Sale and a massive question mark in Matt Harvey. Now, they started going crazy with pitching after that, but question mark guys. You know, we have Matt Harvey, Kelvin Herrera, Dallas Keuchel, John Gray. That's their staff. So they have a Colorado pitcher, they have an injured pitcher, and Dallas Keuchel. Like, honestly, I don't know what to think about Dallas Keuchel, George. Give me your thoughts about him for a second, because a couple of years ago, lights out, last year, fell apart. His splits were bad even 2 years ago when he was dominating, but last year was a really off year. So what are your thoughts about him going into this year? Is this late? Is this about where you expect him to go? He goes middle of the 13th round.
Well, he screams out career year. Yeah, he had one career year, and now he is what he is. So you can see where he went. He went around 13. You can do the math. 13 times 15. That's about where he got drafted. He's top 200 player. Yay. People just don't believe. You know, I think he could be better. The team's good. You know, so I think he'll be better than last year, but not the Cy Young guy. No, not even close. So not someone you want to SP3, dangerous. Like I said, this is the whole problem with this team. The pitching's not there. And even the hitting. I mean, they were taking guys like Segura, Kinsler, Frazier, Pujols, Herrera. Grandel over pitchers. You know, top-notch pitchers here that just aren't available here. They pretty much threw away closers. I don't know if I see a closer on their team.
Yeah, I don't see one either.
So they punted that category, or maybe they're of a belief that they'll pick it up during the season. Okay, you really got to pay attention, but it can be done that way, yes. But it puts you in a bind. They've almost thrown away the whole pitching category. I mean, really, it's a strange way to draft. This team, I'd be surprised if it didn't finish last.
Yeah, I mean, as you look down through, I don't know how you come around. You're going to have to be making trades early in order to – listen, the waiver wire in a league this deep, you're not going to find – you're going to find some waiver wire gems in any league, but is it enough to save this team? Probably not. Another example, a team that drafted on the other side of them also didn't go hard with pitching. It was Ray Flowers. But you had John Lester, Julio Teheran, Craig Kimbrell, and basically Marcus Stroman. That's his top four pitchers there, which went in about
He's
the same
He's got Danny Salazar
area.
After that. Sonny Gray, who could have a bounce back.
That's right.
Jesse Marge. Right, he's got some solid guys.
Yeah, he's got sort of guys where he acknowledges the risk. And I read his write-up on it. He acknowledges the risk that he took, but he's got some upside guys there like Sonny Gray that could save that rotation. He started off with a guy like Rizzo, Carlos Correa, Christian Yelich, J.D. Martinez. That's a pretty solid top four. And to get Lester as his first guy off the board in round five, I think, is a solid way to start. We'll keep talking about this draft and the Roto Experts draft after the break. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George here for the next couple of hours. And if you just want to win your fantasy league and not worry about stacks, GPPs, or contrarian plays, then Old School Fantasy is a show for you. Fantasy Sports Writers Association Hall of Famer Scott Engel and our very own George Kurtz and Jake Seeley, the award-nominated writers, give you all you need to know to coolly run roughshod through your season-long leagues. The fun begins at 1 p.m. Eastern every weekday. Old School Fantasy, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on demand at fntsy.com/radio, or available for download on iTunes. George, you said you were going to do some interesting things on the show this week with Scott Engel out. Not that it's not interesting when he is there, but you did some rankings. You did some movie rankings. What was it that you had going on there this week?
Actually, I had to keep it more tame this week as I was dealing with the flu all week, so I was just trying to get through shows. Super. Yes, my daughter, as you may remember, had the flu last week, and she was so kind enough to share it with me. So
it's very generous of her.
She's such a sweet little girl, brat. So yeah, I was dealing. Well, I guess the good news is she had the stomach flu. I didn't have that. I just had a different kind of flu.
Yeah. Well, all right. So nothing interesting happened then. Is that what you're telling me?
I think Jake and I went through some TV shows that we believe you should be binging on. We did that. Jake
has all kinds of ideas with that stuff, right? Like, Jake's a big I feel like he comments about it on Twitter and on shows. So
that's why I brought it up.
I know
he does that sort of thing.
What is the one that he stood out for him?
Oh, God, it's funny. I can't even remember these things now. I'm going to blame that on the flu as well.
I had somebody tell me that this show, The OA, is something that I need to watch. I don't know what outlet it's on.
Never heard of
it. Netflix. It's called The OA, but people swear by that show.
OA?
The OA, I think.
Off-season activities?
Yeah, I mean, The OA, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, apparently.
I know my wife's watching a lot of stuff on Netflix. Some show with Neil Patrick Harris, I think, or something like that. A couple other shows. She's all stuck on them. The Fall or something, like some English cop show.
There's so many shows now. That's why I'm trying to ask these questions. I'm just trying to get through Westworld. And I've done four episodes. I fell asleep watching the
fifth episode.
Aren't you
at four episodes last weekend, too?
Yes, it was a rough week. I've been trying to get
through it. Must be a great show.
I fell asleep twice trying to watch it this week. Just one of those things, you know it is at the end of the day. Just trying to get through it. I thought I'd lay down and watch Westworld, and I got like a half an hour in, and I keep missing the ending. So
I don't know what's the next show I'm going to binge is.
It's going to be Breaking Bad for me. I think
that's a good one. Yeah, at least you have some good ones to binge yet.
Yeah.
I really don't. Not that I can think of offhand.
There was a real gap in my TV watching life. these last few years. My son is 4 years old. I would say I would tie it to his birth, where the, you know, between
when in doubt, blame the kids.
Between work and getting acclimated to the suburbs and his horrendous sleeping schedule, which is now finally softened after he turned like three, it softened. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I got to get back into.
But for those of you out there who don't have kids, the greatest thing about kids is that you can blame everything on them. You don't want to go to a party. You don't want to go. No, my daughter's sick. Can't go.
It's very
true.
Sorry. It's very true.
I really wanted to go. I really wanted to do your dance little party and wear stupid hats. I did want to go, but she's sick. Yeah. You know, I got to be a dad and stay home. Sorry.
Why are you so angry that you're getting invited to parties? I know you don't want to always go, but you're angry about this. This is nice that you get invited. You go have a little chocolate cake. Yesterday was National Chocolate Cake Day. I didn't even partake, so maybe I'll make up for it today. You get to a party, you get to wear a hat.
I didn't know it was National Chocolate Cake Day.
It was. It was. I learned this.
Ripped off again.
Yeah. Well, whatever. You can do a belated National Chocolate Cake Day. There's some other dessert that you like more. Yeah, but maybe there's some other dessert that you like more, which is being honored today. I don't know what that is, but maybe we'll have to Google
National
it.
Vanilla Ice Cream Day?
That would be terrible. That would be awful. I would not celebrate at all. Please don't tell me that it's your favorite type of ice cream.
Just the first flavor I thought of. I guess my favorite, I'll go cookies and cream.
All right, that's good. That's fine. I can handle that. But, like, there's people out there like, yeah, when I have a hankering for some ice cream, I just go down to my local ice cream shop and I get myself a scoop of vanilla. It's like, are you kidding me? You have a million flavors from which to choose, and that's the one that is flavorless.
I'll probably that's more the one that you brands. Go with. You got to get certain brands.
Yeah, like, we both live in the Long Island area of New York. You got Carvel is, like, on every corner.
Yeah, that's crap.
People outside of... people outside of here don't
that's
really
fast
know
food
much
ice
about
cream.
Carvel.
That's McDonald's of ice cream. Yeah, there, sure. I've been there a million times. It's good ice cream, but
sure.
If I want, I'm talking good stuff.
Like you're talking gelato, or you need to go down to get yourself a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Is that what we're talking
that's
about?
Like Haagen-Dazs. I'm a big Haagen-Dazs guy.
Okay.
I
get it.
Haagen-Dazs is more expensive, absolutely, but it's good stuff. And I bring that up
because I don't eat
vanilla,
it that much,
Mike,
so why not
like
just splurge for it?
Haagen-Dazs vanilla is like a drug.
Do you put anything on it? Please don't tell me you just eat it plain.
No, not Haagen-Dazs vanilla, I want plain. It's like a drug. I mean, I don't know what they put. Well, I guess they put vanilla, whatever it is in it. But man, I love Haagen-Dazs vanilla. But generally, I still get cookies and cream.
All right. I'm still a little irritated about this leaning towards
now,
vanilla.
Now I'm going home, Mike, and purposely getting Haagen-Dazs vanilla. Forget a pint.
Why not that chocolate sprinkles on it or some sort of chocolate syrup or
it's
hot fudge
or
something?
It's not soft ice cream, Mike. Okay, you put sprinkles, it's going to fall over the place.
Yeah, but as you're Carvel. Eating the ice cream, it melts slightly.
Well, you need to leave. This is hard. You need to leave this out for an hour if you want it to melt.
All right, George. We
That's
need
it.
To get
Having
you
a pint
some
on the way
toppings.
Home. Two pints All now. Right. Like, right. I'm going to bring it. One in the studio tomorrow. I need it right in front of you.
All right. Well, all right. That would be interesting at 7 o'clock in the morning, just hammering back a pint of Haagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream.
Sounds good.
That's a sure way to a diabetic future.
I'm married with children. Do I care?
Yeah, true. All right. So we were in the process of hammering Mike Cardano and Chris Meany for their horrible draft.
Not hammering Mike. I'm hammering the team.
Yeah. Okay?
The team is bad. At least the pitching side.
Who did it? Why?
I don't know.
We're hammering them.
I wasn't paying attention.
They did it.
So I don't know.
Apparently Cardano was running around like interviewing people during this. So
then I guess we're hammering Chris.
Whatever. I blame them both. But Chris Meany just won our football league, so who am I to
another reason him? To hammer him? He's still not getting his money. To find out how much I owe him.
Just looking, I'll just go to a team for now, and we can go player by player. There's a lot of different ways to do this, obviously, because we're talking hundreds of players. So Mike Trout was a first overall pick to Anthony Perry. He followed that up with Brian Dozier. He has Syndergaard, Carlos Gonzalez there, which would be the end of the fourth round. Thoughts about Carlos Gonzalez at that spot?
All right.
He goes one pick behind Gary Sanchez, for example.
So I guess I can't talk about ice cream anymore. Cargo. Okay, so Cargo went...
We'll talk about more ice cream later.
End of round four. So he went pick 52. Good value there. I mean, once again,
that's what I thought.
It's a good. This is not good. This is a 13-team draft, everybody. So we see the end of round four. It's picked. That's why I always tell you the pick number so you get an idea. That means in 10-team leagues he went in round six. In 12-team leagues he went in round five. So it gives you an idea there. I'm surprised he lasted that long. You know, especially outfield. We start five outfielders. 13-team league. I think outfielders get probably pushed up a little bit because now you have to start 65. You know, you throw in your utilities. There are going to be a couple of outfielders in there, plus your bench players. You're probably talking 90 to 100 outfielders to be drafted. So I'm a little surprised that Cargo lasted that long. Guys that would have taken Cargo over, I mean, I don't think it's a ton. Probably Gary Sanchez, since I hate catchers. Same thing with Buster Posey. I hate the catching position, period. Ian Desmond, I think another outfielder there. I think I'd rather have Cargo than Ian, but it's fairly close. I don't know if I'm going to criticize that too much. I'll take him over Segura, though. J.D. Martinez, yes. Will Myers, yes. I'll take these guys over. Ruffin and Odor, I would. Billy Hamilton, certainly. But I'm guessing that Ray Murphy wanted the speed there, which, hey, I get it. And Billy can almost win you that category all by himself. I would have taken him over Danny. So, yeah, the bottom line is I think Cargo went way too late. To me, he's a top 35, top 40 player. I would have taken him almost a full round earlier.
Okay, so I just got a nice little note from our producer that the esteemed Mike Cardano is waiting to speak with us. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break right now, come back, and let Mike Cardano
Well, I'll be coming back. I'm not so sure about Mike Blewett.
He will enlighten us. We'll be awash with fantasy baseball knowledge and the experiences of Nashville, Tennessee. It's Mike and George back with Mike Cardano right after this. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Roto Experts in the Morning with Mike and George until 10 o'clock. You know, at 4 p.m. Eastern every weekday, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network invites you to join us for Out of Bounds, presented by SportsGrid.com. We take a brief break from fantasy for a happy hour celebration of sports, pop culture, and opinion. If you're talking about it at the bar, we're talking about it here. Join Mike Cardano, Tony Cincotta, Corey Parson, Greg Sussman, and anyone else walking by the set for Out of Bounds only on Fantasy Sports Radio Network on demand at fntsy.com/radio or available for download on iTunes. And the very host of that show, a man who's as handsome as he is smart, is Mike Cardano. Mike, welcome to the show.
Don't try to butter me up by pimping my show.
What? That's what I do here. I do my song and dance, promote the shows.
So, just because I didn't give you one of my tight ends, how do I turn into a voodoo doll for your show on a weekly basis? How does this happen?
Yeah, well, Mike, I did finish. Why are you always picking on Cardano?
Don't get on his side now, George. I did, in fact, finish in front of you in said league. I didn't think I was bashing you terribly. I said that your hands were tied slightly as you tried to interview people during the course of this FSTA draft. George is the one, frankly, who said that this is a horrible team. He doesn't know. He'd be surprised if he didn't finish in last place.
Wow. Listen,
I don't have a problem with somebody opining. First of all, it's ridiculously early to have the draft to begin with. I mean, it's almost pointless to have the draft.
Very true.
Point. That said, everybody was in the same boat, so we went.
I was about to say the other guys are also drafting that early too.
Yeah, so we went ahead and did that, and let me just say that no points are accumulated, and nothing has happened here. So to declare a winner or a loser of a draft is fruitless because you can't tell. I mean, for instance, I had my three tight ends, which nobody liked. But I beat you when I played you, didn't I?
Yes. Also, I would be out of work if we didn't opine about these drafts.
And it is sort of our job to analyze these things.
I would be out of work I not have ample material.
But at least George did it, and he stayed with the team. He stayed missing. I mean, you made it personal.
That's what I do. I just bash people personally. I attack people's character and their wherewithal to do it. I don't even remember what I said, so I have no problem with you coming on here to defend yourself. But
let's take the first thing. So we'll start at the top. That was your first issue. Yeah. Now, everybody's complaining, apparently complaining, that this is a huge risk because his Ks per nine are down from 11 to 9.
Yeah.
Well, who can, it's still 9.
I have no problem with the Chris Sale pick.
I have no problem with Chris Sale of the year. I have no issues whatsoever.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's people move on to where we have problems. It's,
yeah.
You have problems because we didn't take any other pitching to back that up.
There correct? You go.
That's right. And the first guy you did take in round 10 is a guy with massive question marks.
Matt Harvey. I agree, but we also agree he has massive upside being taken in the 10th round. If he pitches up to his healthy capability, he could be a top 15 pitcher, correct?
This is true.
Your problem is this, though.
I don't like my probability there.
Even if Harvey hits that, though, and listen, odds are hardly against him, but even if he hits that, where's the rest of your staff? You took two pitches in the first 10 rounds. That's almost unheard of.
You know, George, you don't like Keuchel, but coming into last year, you liked Keuchel.
No, I actually didn't.
The point is none of the stats that happened in the past matter here. You're just assuming that what they did last year is translating into what they did this year.
Well, the problem with Keuchel, he's a soft thrower. I mean, he only throws the ball 88 miles an hour. Those guys have to be perfect. In today's game, it's unlikely they'll be perfect. He doesn't play in the biggest of ballparks. I don't think he's pitching in Petco, where he can afford to make mistakes.
Well, how did he do 2 years ago?
That's great.
He was pretty perfect.
So he had one good year, which is the definition perfect, of why I don't take these guys. They have one good career year, people go all over them. And last year, he bombed. He wasn't bad. He was bombed.
There's also the 13th round. Now, with regard to closers, there came a point where the top closers were off the board. So we were considering whether to punt the category totally or kind of go halfway in and try to piece it together. So we went ahead and took Herrera, and then the theory there was to, you know, there is somebody that wasn't even drafted here during this draft who's going to become a closer during the year.
Oh, there'll be many.
And we're going to have to focus in on that and be the ones to go ahead and spend our fab money on doing that. That clearly happened, and there was nothing to do. There were a couple of things that we kind of got blocked on. We were going to take Stanton. He got took just before us. We were going to take Kimbrel. He got taken just before us.
Yeah, but you took guys like Segura, Kinsler, Frazier, Pujols, all in a row, Herrera. You passed over a lot of pitchers.
You
passed on Zach Britton a couple of times.
What's that?
You passed on Zach Britton a couple of times.
Yeah, we just didn't want to take the closer at that point.
I forget the closer. I'm not really worried about the closer. All right, y'all.
There was a run on shortstops. It almost forced us to take Segura,
you never forced to take Segura in round 4. You're not. That's a mistake. All right, you can't. I'm not saying you're taking a pitcher, but Segura in round 4 is, wow. Good luck to you there.
Who are we going to get at shortstop?
Why are you worried about one position in round 4? Round 4, you should still be taking the best players available. Shortstop round 4, don't care. I'm not worried about because the shortstops are rolling out. It's a 13-team league. You're not going to have great players at every position.
We're going to go by what you did last year, which is what you're concerned with some of these players. What was Segura's stats last year? And how is he not a fourth rounder?
Because, Mike, he got traded. You realize that, right? He's on Seattle now.
He got traded.
So he's not playing in a bandbox anymore. So all those numbers are coming down.
He gets slower because he goes to Seattle?
Once again, people need to forget, and this is a very good point here. He's gone to a team that doesn't believe in stealing bases. A lot of teams, they will not let their players steal because they believe it's a waste of time. That unless you're successful 80% of the time, it's a wasted activity.
He had 33 steals last year and hit .319, 203 hits, led the league. So those are his general stats. But to George's point, it's a big trade.
And so the wall being further back is going to, all of a sudden, his batting average automatically goes down because it's hard to hit a home run?
All those numbers will go down. I'm going to say there's really very little doubt about it. The question is how much will they go down? He's also switching leagues. He doesn't know the pitchers anymore. Never played the American League. This will all factor in.
You know. He was the piece. Like, he was a mega prospect. There was no Greinke trade without him.
Mega prospect that's now been traded twice in 2 years. What does that tell you?
I don't know.
Teams don't believe in him.
Pretty well, didn't
they? This they scream sell high. That's what Arizona did.
I don't believe that.
It's a better move for Seattle than it is for fantasy play. I have no problem drafting Segura. Round four is a little nuts. I mean, there were so many better players.
Who was the person we were going to put in the shortstop position?
Why are you worried about a position in round four? I don't understand why you worry about one position. That's not how you approach a draft.
I have to fill all the positions.
Yes, but you see, you're worried about one specific position in round four. It's not like it's round
when
nine.
When I got to the closer position, there was no closer to take.
It's fine to punt on that.
I don't know if I'd go there either. Mike brought up a good point. But when it comes to the closes, Mike brought up a very good point earlier. I write the closer report for Roto-Rooters. I've been doing it for 3-4 years. Half the closers that are drafted right now will not be closing by the All-Star break. You'll have plenty of chances to get. You're going to have to play the waiver wire game, and you're going to have to outbid your other people and realize how much you got to bid for these guys, or maybe grab them a week earlier. You know, one thing Mike can do here is, and I think he did it with Brock. I think I saw Brock there. You can grab two or three top setup men. They'll protect your ERA. They'll protect your ratios, and then you hope that one or two can become closes eventually. They'll take over for whatever reason. Poor performance, injury. That's how you can protect your save. So I don't really have an issue with only grabbing Herrera. You can survive that, assuming you can. You know, you're going to pay attention to the waiver wire, which not every fantasy player will, because you have to. So you need to pay attention.
All I'm saying is that once it got to the point where they realized that they were behind the eight ball, then taking the strategy that will punt it mostly and then try to pick it up through the waiver wire.
You hear you say the word punt. Because once you're a punt, you're saying you're not drafting any. You drafted one, you didn't punt.
Okay, fair to say.
If you punt the category, the odds of you winning, not good.
They hedged a lot. They hedged a lot on the closer position because they, you know, obviously they know that the strategy for them regarding closer is to be jump on it on the waiver wire. But I agree with your point earlier about focusing on, well, what shortstops are we going to get? Well, three other teams waited until round seven. They got Javi Baez and Short Tulo and Jose Ramirez and other guys. You didn't have to draft Segura there. You can argue back and forth whether or not you think that Segura is, George would say, you overvalued him here. Mike, you would say, well, he hit 319 last year. I'm going to go on some historical basis. But I tend to side with George in stating that you didn't have to get the shortstop there, especially when several shortstops were grabbed a little bit later. I can't tell you exactly who you should have drafted there, whether it was Ian Desmond or Carlos Gonzalez or whomever else, but you didn't have to focus on shortstop there.
We didn't. But not only was it that we wanted to make sure we filled position, but when you fill out a roster, you have to make it well-rounded so you can compete in every category.
Of course.
So that was one of the things is we got Springer, we got Segura, we added Herrera later. So we wanted to make sure we were competing in the stolen base category as well. So we could have taken any one of those shortstops. Not one of those shortstops is going to have the stolen bases that he will. I don't care where he's playing, George. Just because he went to Seattle doesn't mean, you know, players, you know, if Ricky Henderson got traded to Seattle, they don't tell him to stop running. Coaches have philosophies.
That's a little extreme. That's a slightly extreme example.
No, he's not a stolen base guy, so he doesn't run. If he was a stolen base guy, the manager would let him run.
That's not true at all, Mike. When certain teams do not allow anyone to steal bases, Seattle's not quite that bad. Baltimore will not allow their players to steal. Doesn't matter who they have. Now, great, if they had someone like Ricky Henderson, they might change their philosophy.
Say it doesn't matter who they have. No, that George, they draft players. They put players on their roster to fulfill how the manager wants to run it. So if a manager doesn't believe in running, they don't put jackrabbits on the roster.
By the way, it's not the manager that decides this. It's the general manager. The GM decides if your team's going to run or not. It's a new era of baseball.
If the 82 Cardinals would have had players that couldn't run, they wouldn't have run.
Once again, you're looking at extremes, Mike. We can all point out extremes. All right, you want to throw Lou Brock in here too? Go ahead.
Let's put a pin in Gene Segura. Mike, you got time for another segment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we're going to hit a break right now. We'll come back, and George is going to yell at Mike Cardano for another 15 minutes. Back in a couple of minutes, Mike and George on Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike and George here with Mike Cardano. We've been talking a little bit about the FSTA draft, which he participated in with Chris Meany from the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. But, Mike, I wanted to give you a minute to talk about maybe your experience there. Obviously, we had a huge victory with the On Target show winning Best Radio Show of Benny Riccardi, Joe Pisapia, and Jake Seeley, part of the family. Obviously, a huge honor for us. I want to give you a second to talk about that, as well as, frankly, anything else that occurred down at FSTA.
Yeah, that was great. So we really took down the radio category. We beat out 24 separate entries from Sirius XM and CBS and ESPN. So that was a pretty honorable thing to have happen there.
Especially considering we only had a few months to pull it off.
Yeah. I think that's a credit to everybody, to the whole team, including George, despite our differences. But, you know.
Well, if we didn't have differences, it'd be a boring show.
Yeah, I just decided that you're coming to the FSTA draft, and you and I are going to draft next year just for the sideshow that will ensue.
Are you going to have the little card in front of the thing again, where if I make a good answer, I get the car comes closer to me? If a bad answer, the car goes further away?
Yeah. You know what was very noticeable, though? The lack of attendance at the FSTA was about half, Mike, of what it was last year.
That's interesting.
And a lot of that has to do with DFS. I think the perception was that, right or wrong, I don't know, that the FSTA supported FanDuel and DraftKings and going through their trials and tribulations, both monetarily and any ways they could support them, at the peril of some of the season-long guys. And some of the season-long guys just said, hey, I'm not going to support you with my funds attending this. I think there was a conscious effort to do that. I don't know if that will continue, if that was a one-year thing. But that was something that was obvious to me. I didn't physically count them. I could do that. We have the data for the attendees. But to me, it literally looked like it was about half of what was Dallas the year before, which was somewhat disappointing.
So the thought that people are put off by the fact that the FSTA lended their support, perhaps people feel like it wasn't their job to do that, or they didn't want to be associated with DFS in that capacity, correct?
Well, just like politics, right? So if your congressman is not supporting you and he's supporting some other effort, you're going to voice your opinion by doing something, and I think this was a way for people to voice their opinion. It's human nature. It happens in politics all the time. It happens in business all the time. The people who are buttering your bread are the people you're going to support. So whether it was a conscious effort by them or not, it's something that did happen. And bills were getting passed that were, the season longs were lumped into the daily category. So, for instance, if you had to pay $50,000 to register in a state, if you are a fantasy company, that there were a lot of small companies that couldn't do that, and it was the opinion that the FSTA endorsed those bills and didn't stick up for them. Now, the FSTA has since come out and said, we did, but we felt we needed to get momentum and get some of these things legalized in some states, and it was fully our intention to go back and try to revisit and get these things edited. And I believe that to be the case, but they did do what they did do, and people were offended by it. So I think that was the reason for the lack of attendance. I can't think of – it was well attended, but it's – it was ridiculously well attended previously.
Right. And who knows, maybe it's based on location as well. But, was it the FSTA winter one, wasn't that in New York last year, or was that also in Nashville?
No, that was Dallas.
That was Dallas, right. So,
Nashville,
Dallas,
itself,
not a big difference. Nashville's fun, right? I've never been, but I've always heard great things about it.
The problem was I was there on Tuesday, so I tried to go out on a Tuesday night. And there was literally nothing going on. I know the guys went to the Predators game while it was there, but the bars, there were literally three, four people in them. There are so many of them. It's unbelievable. Apparently, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, they're mobbed. I didn't get that atmosphere at all. But I don't know that there was much to do there other than barbecue and listen to music and drink.
Wow, you're the first guy I've ever heard that has gone to Nashville and not come back with a story about how much fun it was. So I don't know if that's...
I think if I went on the weekend, I would have had a different experience.
Okay. All right, well, good. That's I'm glad in general the experience was a positive one for the conference and for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Apparently you don't have fun anymore, so that's a different issue altogether. We'll solve that during another show. George, you have anything for Mike on this, or do you just want to just continue to bash his team?
No, I think I'm done bashing his team. I was going to ask Mike. Mike, you're going to play DFS Pro Bowl tomorrow?
No. No, no, no. You know what? I haven't paid any attention to it. Was somebody being facetious, or did I hear somebody talk something about dodgeball? What was going on?
No.
Oh, you didn't
so
see
the
that?
Skills challenge.
It's actually on TV right now, by the way.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl is a skills challenge. They did it on Wednesday, taped it, and aired the show on Thursday, and they had a variety of different events. There was a quarterback skills challenge where they're trying to hit targets. There was an obstacle course.
Mike, turn on ESPN right now.
Sleds.
I'm watching it at the bar. It's on.
Yeah, so sleds. And they also had a drone drop, so you had four different guys, Chris Harris, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, and... can't remember, I'm missing somebody, but they had a drone dropping a football from various heights, and they were trying to catch it. Odell ended up winning that competition. And then the premier event was the dodgeball competition, AFC versus NFC. NFC prevailed. T.Y. Hilton, I believe, was the last man standing
he
for
was.
The AFC, and Zeke Elliott knocked him out. So,
yeah.
And people said it was exciting. The players were into it, and you know, that's standard
stupid
dodgeball rules. So there you go.
What skills
exactly
does catching a ball
exactly
from a drone or playing dodgeball exhibit?
Mike,
general
I'm right there with you. And no,
general
come on.
Athleticism?
I want to see football skills, man. How about seeing a quarterback throw the ball as hard as he can? How about seeing these running backs race off against each other? You know, I understand they're not going to do this because they might get hurt, and ages will never allow it. But Mike's 100% right. Dodgeball? Really?
I mean, if they were going to do that, they should have did the old Wide World of Sports obstacle course, no?
That would have been cool.
Did.
I would have loved to have seen that.
So a few years back, there was a college skills competition, which I don't believe they do anymore. But I remember the last time I watched it, Matt Ryan was a senior along with, like, was in it, along with Joe Flacco and Cole Brennan, if you remember him, and Chad Henne. Those guys were all the same. So they had a quarterback skills competition, and one of them was the longest throw, and Flacco destroyed them all.
I remember
all.
That. Mike's
and they
about
did
the superstars
have a
competition back in the day.
I do. I know that, too. But I'm stating that they also had something like this in college where the players was like after the college season. It was like maybe tied with the Senior Bowl in some way. And they had an obstacle course situation, which was cool. Running back would have to catch a pass, then go through a bunch of tackling dummies, then jump over a hurdle, and all kinds of stuff. So I think they can do stuff like that. I mean, you're always at risk of injury, but this stuff's pretty innocuous.
I think they also want things that aren't going to embarrass them. You know, all these, you know, they don't want to be embarrassed by certain, you know, where they can't do it or something like that. Because the superstars competitions that Mike was talking about, I think there were 10 events. You had to choose 7, and maybe they would be look like idiots and someone playing tennis or something. I don't know. Right?
Hey, like Gabe Kaplan was facing off against Suzanne Summers and all kinds of stuff like that.
That's
right?
That's Battle of Network Superstars.
And OJ.
Yeah.
I think Gabe lost to OJ, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not
the
only one
like,
lost to OJ.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But
hey,
George,
listen,
so,
before I go, George, I know Mike has a dog in the fight with Lana. The quarterback is his guy. Do you have a dog in the fight for the Super Bowl here?
You know, Mike, my home league, the playoffs actually do count, so I guess I do. But to be honest, I just want to see a good game. You know, I want to be entertained like everybody else. I don't want to blow out, and I don't want to be worried about commercials being the best part of the night.
I'm an unapologetic Atlanta Falcons fan for the next 8 days. So
I'm guessing Mike is too, as he's a Jet fan.
Yeah.
No. I'm not. You know, I have to be honest. Over time, Tom Brady has. I hate him because he's so good. Over time, he's grown on me. The things that he does on the field, even the way he cheats, the guy who wouldn't want someone who tries to win as much as he does. So I don't necessarily hate him that way. I'm more interested at this point in betting and making money. You guys think that line is fair?
Yes.
I think it's fair, but I think the Pats are going to outdo that. Well, Mike, thanks for joining us for the last half hour. We appreciate it. Good luck with the team this year. We'll talk to you again soon. Mike and George will be back in a few minutes to talk about anything we want to talk about for the next hour.